Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. And welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys with me, David Baddiel.
And me, Tim Hinks.
I think there's only one way we can start today's podcast, Tim, so if you do the honours.
I'm very happy to.
Pushing through the market square. So many mothers sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. This guy wept and told us was really dying.
Okay, well, I think we're turning it off now.
We said we'd keep the tone light, and we have done.
Yeah, I'm not noticed, actually, in the present apocalypse, an absolute correspondence to what David says it's going to be like.
So, no news guy has wept?
No news guy has
wept
so
far. I don't know if that's true, actually.
No,
I haven't. We haven't seen footage of a news guy weeping, saying you've got to avoid inessential social contact, and then crying.
Yes, no news guy has wept, but except possibly coming back from a Boris Johnson press conference, not because the world's ending, but because they're so annoying and vague and don't actually tell you what to do properly.
Of course, famously, he says, in a way, we wouldn't recommend now. He says a queer threw up at a cop knelt
and kissed the feet of a priest, and a queer threw up at the sight
of that.
So apologies to anyone listening who might be offended by that word. It is the lyric, so in context, we are just quoting it. I have always slightly not understood why a gay person would particularly throw up at a policeman kneeling at the feet of a priest and kissing them.
I was thinking about it the other day because I think it might be, I don't know why the sexual orientation is an issue, but I think the notion of the state prostrating itself to the religion, it's like a sort of reversal, isn't it?
That's what it is.
I felt that it's like sort of, you know, when a cop representing security and sort of secular security and sort of says, I'm going to kiss the feet of a priest. Religion is now the only thing we've got.
Oh, right.
Makes you feel...
Right, so you're frightened.
Frightened and sick.
The gay man, I'm going to call him a gay man rather than David's use of a slightly...
Or a gay, could have been a gay
woman.
I know
that term has been...
Could have been a gay woman, by the way.
Yes, that's true. I don't think David would have said that. I think he would have said dyke, unfortunately. Or something
getting
similar.
Now we're not even quoting the lyric, but we're using...
I'm just running with
what
the fact.
What would it be equally offensive?
All bets are off.
True.
Can say what you like. Apparently.
So sue us.
You know, but someone said the other day to me, nature saying, I'll show you cancel culture.
Right.
That's what's happening now. You know, essentially, I'm not going to.
No.
But I could say terrible things on this podcast and think, it doesn't matter now anyway, does it?
Yes.
Because nature's going to do the cancelling. Yeah. I never thought, in all my time, about it being, I think you're right, being that the gay person is sort of retching in fear because a policeman kissing the feet of a priest implies that they've given up all hope of ordinary kind of logic and authority.
Yeah.
I've always just thought it's some strange association with one man kissing another man in a way that the gay man doesn't like.
Because
it's not the sort of gay man's idea of how one man should kiss another man.
I notice you're thinking the cop is definitely male, so that's very revealing.
It's 1972. Mm. Let's be honest, it's really still a man's world.
Do you know the percentage of female cops in 1972?
You said that if you do know. I'm really...
It's 13%.
Also, we don't say cops in this country. It's kind of interesting is that Bowie did say cop.
Well, that's
not. If he'd said policeman, which is what we would have said, then that would have cleared all this up.
People talk about Aladdin Sane as being Ziggy Goes to America, which, you know... You get, but Ziggy album itself is his first big American album, isn't it? The way he talked,
Ice
Cream Parlor, Cop, Milkshakes. A milkshake in 1972
wasn't really a thing. Although I remember Baskin Robbins.
I loved his early stuff.
Yeah, no, I remember Baskin Robbins appearing in the Finchley Road.
Right,
and thinking.
What year? Like
in the late 70s, okay. I think it probably
late
was.
Late 70s, yeah.
Yeah, and thinking, this is amazing, this is like being in Happy Days.
Mm. Right.
It is an ice cream parlour.
Yeah.
Because it had like 52 flavours, which when I grew up, which obviously I'm 3 years older than you?
You're 55, I'm a minute
55,
ago.
I'm 55, yeah. I'm 52. I mean, I was, at the time, obviously, because of the situation we're in now, I was saying it in terms of my danger bracket.
You're a bit more at risk than I am.
Although the brackets seem to be entirely decade-based. So we're in the same 50 to 59 bracket.
Yeah.
The minute you go to 60, you're in a much
unusual
more...
for a virus to think in that way, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's partly the most sophisticated virus we've ever faced and also slightly simplistic in the way it thinks about who it wants to attack.
Yeah, no, it's true. But no, we are in the same percentage group. But yes, I am older than you. And forgetting for a moment about the danger that puts me in the present crisis, it did mean that when I grew up, there were 99s. From ice cream vans. There
right.
was basically that whippy flavour, which I think is vanilla, but is it not just white?
It's a good question.
Is it not just white flavour?
Because when you eat vanilla ice cream, even the most basic, it's quite different, isn't it? Not just texture, but the taste.
So what flavour is the sort of whippy flavour you
isn't
get?
Isn't it like cream flavour?
Isn't the flavour?
No, but like, it's literally ice cream. It's sort of, it's interesting. It's dairy flavour, isn't it?
It's dairy, milky flavour with sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't call it that.
They don't call it that.
So, that's what I mean. I was very excited that there could be all these different flavours.
Could you do for us now Fonz impression?
Hey.
All right. Well, I thought you might, but never mind.
I just did it.
Well, if you do feel like doing one.
Yes. Happy Days. For anyone who doesn't know, probably no one in our audience doesn't know.
Bella won't know sitting next to us. Bella's, you don't know what Happy Days is, do you?
I don't think so.
No.
Happy Days was a programme. One of the things about the 70s, and Bowie had a slight element of this, I would say, certainly in things like Driving Saturday, although we talked at great length about how that is a twisted version of it. But people in the 70s were quite obsessed with the 50s, like things like Shawaddy Waddy and Alvin Stardust and indeed Happy Days.
Yeah.
Because I think it still exists as a thing. I think my kids know... obviously it must still be on somewhere, but they wouldn't really know Happy Days, but I have a feeling my kids know the theme tune to Happy Days.
That's interesting.
Because I think it's used on other things.
The 50s throwback, a lot of those... glam rock was a very 50s chord structures and things, wasn't it? And then you had Grease, you know,
Grease
back
was
in 77 was all about...
Yeah.
But there's also a thing that in the 80s it happened again. Do you remember with all the Nick Kamen advert, the Levi's adverts?
Right,
they did all those Sam Cooks and...
Yeah.
So there's
Well, it might be the case that pop culture often defaults to the 50s because that's where it started.
Maybe that's right. Yeah.
I don't
When was the last 50s style thing?
I don't know, having said that.
No,
I don't know when the last...
Here's Happy Days.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are happy
days.
These days are
Really has cheered me up.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, nothing cheers you up more, I think, maybe. What are you doing?
This has got a bit of wind, sorry. Didn't think that was on the mic. One of us should do a Fonz impression at some point.
Yeah, at some point. I noticed that when you did do your, it was a Fonz impression, you did one thumb. He always did two. Just listeners, Tim is doing two thumbs.
Is that what he did? Did he go,
he always did two thumbs.
No, but is that the noise he made?
No, it wasn't that. That's a terrible noise.
What?
No, that's what he was doing.
No, I understand that. What?
Wasn't E.
Is that hey?
Yeah, it's kind of a. I'm the Fonz. I mean, you could probably get him doing it. Do you want to get him doing it?
I am the Fonz.
No, he didn't say I'm the Fonz.
No.
I am the Fonz was contained in A.
There you are. There's a searching which says the
you
Fonz.
You really spat at me, by the way. So if you've got it,
yeah,
it's
but
all bets are off.
Yeah, but it'll be worth it when I tell you what I found.
Okay.
The top 10 A's.
Okay, great.
Okay, so here this is the noise he made.
Do you recognise this voice? Hey!
In the Happy Days theme, there's a quandary.
Right.
Which is, it's Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. Saturday, what a day. Waiting all week for you, I think it is.
Okay.
But really, I would say you've blown your thing because you've said every day.
Saturday's
Sunday,
no more.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday, happy days. So, I mean, you know, where's your base? Where's your default? Where's your...
Where's the light and shade?
Where's the test case? There's a word for this when you're doing
base case?
Is it base? When you're doing an experiment.
No, you mean...
it's a default. There's a word for it.
No, it's... the control.
The control.
Oh, God.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tim.
Right.
Yes. So what I would say is that the theme tune of Happy Days has got no control group.
Yeah.
Control day.
Yeah.
Because it should say
Sunday,
Monday, boring days.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, average days.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, better days. Yeah. Saturday, what a day.
Better days, partly because you know Saturday's coming, which is the great day.
Yeah, if you want to build, which I feel the song does,
to
happy days, they want to not just say Sunday, Monday, happy days.
But it's that thing about why you'd think about if there's such a thing as heaven.
Yeah.
And then you immediately think, God, it sounds quite boring because you just feel constantly happy, right? So you need light and shade.
Yes.
So it doesn't
feel
very...
what would they do in heaven?
Well, you just need...
light and shade.
Well, you...
like if you went to someone in heaven and said, look, it's great, you know, I can have everything I like, and
but
clouds,
I'm just feeling the same all the time.
I'm just feeling like, I don't understand what happiness is anymore.
Yeah.
Gabriel. That's the
angel
Gabriel.
Yeah.
And he would say, oh, for fuck's sake. I mean, you know, what do you have to do for you people?
By the way.
And you say, well, I'll tell you what. What if someone, I don't want anything really bad, but what if someone just, like, puts a pin in my foot for a bit, and then I'll get a sense of how nice it is when it isn't there.
No, I mean, the chances of meeting Gabriel in heaven low. But
are
like,
they?
People always say, must be, there's millions of people in heaven, right?
Yeah, but you can have what you like.
Okay.
When Homer goes to heaven in The Simpsons, he can have whatever he likes. In fact, he blows up the guy who's showing him around heaven.
Right.
Oh, that's a cough now. You see
that's a dry cough.
One of the problems with the whole coughing thing
is
that as soon as you think, I mustn't cough, you want to cough.
Yes.
So that is quite difficult,
I
think, because now we're both thinking about it.
When I was about 17 and... I can picture this moment. I was in the shower. Sorry, I'm not going to take.
I don't want to picture the moment myself.
Okay, don't.
Well, actually, no, you're 17. You know, you've got hair. Have you still got hair?
I had hair then. Yeah. I used to try and make my hair look like Ian McCulloch from Echo and the Bunny.
Yes, let me discuss this.
Yeah, so I had hair.
Yeah, and you're in the shower in which village is it now?
In Whispergreen.
In Whispergreen.
And I suddenly thought, I think I've worked out what the meaning of
life.
Let's not say life, but the meaning of happiness is what is happiness.
Mm.
And I felt, and still to a certain extent feel now, it's about having something to look forward to.
Right.
So...
not a great time.
What?
Now it's hard to know what to look
forward to. No, and I think that's what's... exactly, that's why this virus is so difficult. Because, and it's... and I know that the modern, up until now, the modern sort of theory has been, no, in a way, not that. It's been about living in the moment.
Mm.
You know, don't live in the future.
Yeah.
Live in the moment and appreciate that, which I think is what heaven should be.
Right.
Be. But actually, I've always found it better to think, the moment's fine... I'm not enjoying it, but what I'm excited about is...
well, again, Happy Days, you see, isn't doing that.
Exactly, that's my point.
It should be looking forward more to Saturday, what a day, waiting all week. Is it waiting all week for you?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
But it's like the poppadoms are the best bit of a curry.
Right, because the curry is yet to come.
Curry's yet to come, so you've got all that future promise.
Yeah. I don't agree with that. I don't really like poppadoms. Oh, I quite like them.
No, well, they're the worst
bit for
you.
I've started to like them more.
Yeah.
Because when I play football, we always go for a curry, although sadly, football is off at the moment.
No, of course, yeah.
But
although I'm available, by the way, so ironically, you keep asking me.
I've been trying to get Tim to come and play football for 2 years, perhaps. Because he claimed.
Yeah, that just feels too long a time to play football.
He claimed that he likes to play football, and then I play
just
football.
Just not with you.
Every Tuesday night, and every Tuesday night, well, not every, but a lot of them, a lot of Tuesday days, I've texted Tim and said, do you want to play football tonight? Mm. Always not available.
I have played, as I think you have. No. We're always mindful. We've been in trouble before on this podcast for mentioning friends who might be, you know.
Listening.
Well, not even that. You know, we do know some famous people. You are famous, so I know more famous people than you. No, that's technically not true. No, I was thinking mathematically because I know you and you.
Right. Oh, I see.
Yeah, but that doesn't work at all.
I know myself.
Yeah. No, but it doesn't work even if it were true that I know you, you know me. Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah, I get your point.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think I'm safe to say we both know Jamie Redknapp well, and he's a friend.
He's a footballer.
And he's a footballer, and I played football with him, you know, in a casual way. And even that was sort of slightly terrifying. He's a lovely bloke, as you know. But you sort of want Jamie to pass you the ball, which he does, and then you sort of want to casually just do something incredible.
Right, to impress Jamie.
Yeah, and then
But what you're forgetting about me is... I have played football with Eusebio.
Yeah.
I have played football with George Best.
Right. George Best.
Yes, because of fantasy football.
Of course.
So,
you know that feeling.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, well, I've played lots of football with footballers because of charity football games.
Yeah.
And actually, charity football games are a slightly weird thing because you get exactly that. You think, like, oh my God, Peter Beardsley is playing.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, so I really feel like I have to up my game, even though Peter Beardsley will in no way be thinking, oh, I want to see how good David Baddiel is. That's not what he'll be thinking.
No, he's probably not thinking.
But there is a slightly weird thing, which is that some footballers, totally, Peter Beardsley being one of them, stay pretty good after they stop playing, just because they're playing in a lot of charity games or whatever. Mm. Others, the minute they stop, completely become shit. So,
Do they become, like, you think they just can't do it anymore? Well, they become unfit. But
they become unfit, but that's the big difference. Yeah. I mean, I played in a game at Gillingham once in a charity game, and there were quite a lot of big footballers there. Mm. John Barnes, Clive Allen, people like that.
Yeah,
and none of them were particularly good.
Right.
I vaguely remember taking the ball off John Barnes at one stage. But there were two players filling up the numbers who were, I think, reserve Gillingham players, like 23-year-olds, and you couldn't get anywhere near them. Like, nowhere near them.
Amazing.
And they were not famous players.
Yeah, yeah.
But just because they were professionals and athletes, they were miles away. You know? But I think quite quickly after you stop playing, unless you make a real effort to keep it going, you will no longer be someone who other people on the pitch think, oh, I can't get the ball off him.
How good do you think Jeff Staples was?
I don't know who Jeff Staples was.
Okay, he was in my school.
Okay. I'll tell you what my pause was. My pause was a combination of fear of dementia and fear of being, like, not as good at knowing about football as I should be.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because for a second I thought, is that a footballer I should know?
Yeah, okay.
And then I caught a slight twinkle in your eye and thought, I wonder if Jeff Staples is someone from Tim's past. And then I went for it.
I kind of feel I saw all that in that segment. It was good for you to confirm it. I always think of this about football. He was, like, the best player at my junior school.
Yeah.
And even got injured, you know, like, amazing. You know, so he was, like, proper footballer. He had a sort of calf injury when I just didn't even know what that was. And he was brilliant. And I think when we played other schools, it was clear he was really good.
Yeah.
And
he's now
a painter and decorator.
Oh, right.
And I think a really good one.
Right, okay.
But he's not an international footballer.
No.
And
that's one of the things about football.
How do you... Yeah, do you think the people who are best at football... Who was best at football at your school?
Because we didn't play soccer.
No.
It really annoyed me about my...
Yeah.
But I've over the years playing in my game, I've seen people come and go who are really good. In fact, there's some people now. Graham Stewart, who you may know from So Television, his son, Jamie Stewart, seems to me to be absolutely brilliant at football.
Right,
but clearly... He's not that good. Otherwise, he would be a professional footballer.
Yeah, or it's a bit like on X Factor, isn't it? Like, there's someone who's amazing at singing, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't happened. But they can still be as good as Adele, can't they?
Yes, there is a very good piece of writing in Nick Hornby's Fever Pitch about a player called Gus Caesar, who played for Arsenal, so obviously got to the top level.
Yeah.
But Nick says there was one particular game where someone else, I can't remember who it was now, from some other side, realised that Gus Caesar wasn't quite good enough and decided to essentially run rings around him the entire time. And Gus Caesar never played for the first team again. And he does this incredible bit of writing about how if he must have been so good, Gus Caesar. He must have been the best in his class, best in his year, the best in his local side, the best in his under 15 side, like, to get to play for Arsenal. And he still wasn't quite good enough.
Yeah,
and then
he says
this incredibly depressing thing, but I really love it, about how many, many, many people believe that they are destined to be a footballer or an artist or a singer or a pop star. And he says something about how you have that belief running through your veins like heroin and it doesn't mean anything at all.
Yes,
very depressing piece of writing, but it's kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
So, yes, I don't know. I need to go back, though, to a few things.
Mm.
Actually, before I do go back to the poppadoms, I want to go back. Let me just put a marker to the poppadoms. But before, I must tell you something, actually.
I think they'll crack if you do that. So just let's not forget.
I must tell you one thing, which is that I can't remember which gig it was, the last gig I did. So my tour has been cancelled, as far as we know.
Yeah.
It's very, very annoying because the government has done a thing. I don't know when this podcast is going out, which is not to say what every other developed country in the world has done, which is to say, by law, we are banning mass gatherings. They've done a kind of Sergeant Wilson out of Dad's Army thing of saying, you know, like Sergeant Wilson, Dad's Army, when he was given an order, used to say things like, would you mind forming a kind of line thing? They're sort of saying, yeah, we'd prefer it if you didn't go to the theatre or whatever, which is really annoying and possibly deliberate. people have said on Twitter that it's deliberate to avoid insurance payouts or indeed state compensation payouts by not making it law. So from my point of view, I'm on tour at the moment. I have 20 dates and an Australian tour deal. The Australian tour doesn't matter because they have banned it, which we now have to organise every tour date rather than saying, right, blanket cancellation. We have to negotiate to cancel every date with the venue because the venue could still contractually force me to do it to 27 people who are taking their lives in their hands who have turned up. So that's all really annoying. But the reason I bring it up is one of the last dates, I think it was possibly my Cheltenham date or it might be another one, but let's say it was my Cheltenham date, which was my last date before the shit really hit the fan. I asked for tweets at halftime. I asked the audience to tweet me at halftime in the interval. And I often get people saying, when...
Just for a second checking, you didn't mean treats.
No, I ask for treats as well, but they very rarely come.
It'd be very sweet if that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Just had a little moment.
Yeah, the audience come in with M&Ms and, you know, little gifts.
I ask for tweets.
Yeah, no, I ask people to tweet me. And because the show is about trolling, and I say troll me if you like. I often get teasingly trolling things.
Right.
So one thing I get a lot is when's Frank Skinner coming on.
Okay.
Occasionally, I get when's Rob Newman coming on.
Wow.
And at Cheltenham, I got when's Tim Hinks coming
on.
Yeah. And I did write back. I didn't read it out, but I did write back
so
to that
bloke
and say, that is my favourite half-time tweet of the tour so far. Yeah.
I really like it.
It's a
listener of the podcast and a fan of yours, right? There's a cross-section.
Who knows? Maybe he actually thought that you were coming on. Maybe he's a fan of yours and was disappointed, genuinely. No, I don't think so. Yes, he's a fan of the podcast.
Which of those three would you like to come on with you? If you had to. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I do get it quite a lot because people obviously are trying to think of... People often say, when are you going to start singing Football's Coming Home or whatever? So they're just sort of casting about for things about me that they can say. But yes, I have not had any others.
Is it always a question like that, though? When are you going to sing it? When is Frank coming?
I get really funny ones, I have to say. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite ones, which I don't know if it will work non-visually, is I wear a long sleeve T-shirt, but I tend to push it up to my elbows when I'm performing, just without really thinking about it.
I can visualise
that. So one of them I got was in Aberdeen. Someone said, David, why don't you just wear a short sleeve T-shirt? Which I really like. So often they're very specific to the moment. Anyway, so I wanted to tell you about the Tim Hinks thing, which I was very pleased
about.
To the Poppadoms for a second.
Oh, yeah.
So for years, I would go for curry and people would order loads of poppadoms. I would always be slightly worried. This is a very old bit of observation that too many poppadoms would mean I wouldn't eat the curry. So I'd try and keep it down.
It's an old observation. Oh, like old persons. Do you mean?
No, it's an old cliched observation.
Is it?
In fact, I believe.
Is it?
Yes. I believe in Goodness Gracious Me's Let's Go for an English sketch. There's a kind of corollary of that about let's not have too many bread rolls. Then we won't be able to eat the fish and chips or something like that.
Still brilliant, that sketch, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a brilliant sketch. But my point is that I just used to think, like, oh, I don't know about poppadoms. I'm not that keen on them. And then people would dip them, probably a dangerous thing to do now, into the mango chutney.
Of course it's dangerous.
Yeah, into mango chutney. So I did that for a bit, but I thought, like, nah, it's a bit sweet, whatever. Then I realised, and this was only about a year ago, that you could dip them into mango chutney and also put lime pickle, you know, the hot lime pickle on top of that. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, of course.
It was life-changing for me.
Why would you not do that?
But I didn't think of it.
You just didn't think of it.
I didn't think of it. I mean, there's... Okay, so you get this little pot.
Yeah.
Or you might get three pots, but I think the one I go to, it's got one pot split into three chambers. So there's a bit of yogurt in one chamber. It's like
a medieval curry house?
like the chambers of your heart. You know what I mean? It's like a round white pot with, I don't know how else to describe it. It's got three different chambers.
It's got a chutney chamber. That's absolutely fine.
It's got a chutney chamber, a lime pickle chamber, and a yogurt stroke raita chamber. Right? And I realised you don't have to restrict yourself when you're poppadoming it into one of these chambers.
Multi-chambered approach.
You can multi-chamber the whole thing. So I put some mango chutney from one chamber and some lime pickle from another chamber.
It can't be a chamber, but I know what you mean.
And the sweet hot combination is absolutely brilliant. But I didn't know that.
It's like talking to someone who's just discovered about sandwiches.
No, I know.
I totally get it.
I obviously put it on Twitter and had loads and loads of people saying, how could you possibly not have done this before? But other people clearly didn't know either and said, I'm going for a curry
didn't
immediately.
Didn't know what? That you could do it.
Could do that. Yeah. People didn't realise you could do that. Right. I didn't realise you could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, a poppadom itself is not particularly designed to have anything on it. I think probably originally when those were created, I now don't know what the fuck I'm saying, but when they were created,
I know what you mean.
Probably created just as a food stuff that you didn't have with anything.
It'd be very interesting to know whether they were like chicken tikka, like created for the... Are they definitely an indigenous Indian?
Look it up.
The first thing we're getting is that it is native to the Southeast Asia. Okay. It's not a British invention.
Yeah.
Being part of the cuisine of subcontinent for generations. The derived from the Sanskrit word papata.
Okay. Well, all I really need to know
is... Do you know what it means?
No. What does it mean?
Flattened disc.
Okay. Okay.
For the excavation of chambers.
No, what I want to know is...
Is it
something that was originally served up sort of just by itself? Was it designed like a sandwich bread thing that you put things on it?
Okay, so there's a really interesting...
I'm not sure Wikipedia will have that particular information.
I'll tell you what, there's a picture of what's called a masala papad.
Yeah.
And that is a poppadom with, like, onions and tomatoes cut up and put on top of it, almost like a pizza.
Right.
So that suggests... Oh, Christ, I wanted
to...
That you are meant
to put things on it.
Yeah. But it doesn't say...
Different chambers.
Doesn't mention chambers.
Yeah.
And as most... In most Indian restaurants around the world, they're served as an appetizer with dips, often including mango chutney, lime pickles.
It says that.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah. Does it say you can mix these up?
Well, I'll come to... Masala papad with onion, tomato, coriander leaves is one of the best-selling appetizers in India. So that's with what I said looks a bit like a pizza. But I think mixing them is something pretty much everyone does.
Yeah.
There's one exception, which is in the Oval I used to live in.
Yeah.
This restaurant, Indian restaurant, which I can't remember what it was called, didn't have chambers. It had dishes in a sort of fireplace stand where you put your fire implements.
Yes, that's what they often have. But is it silver?
Like silver.
Silver, yes. It's a kind of very hard to describe, but I know what you mean.
It's a
silver pole.
Silver pole.
Like a
bracket,
small fireplace.
Like a bracket.
If you imagine the thing that...
Instead of the brush and the shovel and the stick to poke the fire with, take those out.
Poker.
And put a poker. Put
a chamber.
Silver. Well,
a
silver detachable bucket.
Yes.
Elegant bucket.
This would be so hard to describe. Elegant bucket. Well, hanging off.
Slightly tapered.
Well, sometimes they have a top, the bucket, don't they?
Well, it must be easier to say.
They have a top. The bucket has a top that you can lift up, doesn't it? Sometimes halfway, like a teapot.
A saucepan handle.
Like a teapot.
Oh, yeah.
What I want to know is, if you run an Indian restaurant and you've run out of these things, what do you Google?
What do you say on the phone?
We've sort of gone out of business, not just now because of coronavirus.
We need 50 miniature silver buckets.
You need to order them in bulk as well.
We need 50 silver buckets.
And then people think, "What? Like, do you want something for your fireplace?" No, much smaller than
like that. But smaller.
Smaller.
But.
Anyway, yes, they had that.
In the three silver buckets, there was one had the sliced onions.
Yes,
you know, like
you get that quite a lot.
Raw
sliced
onions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some I've seen men. It's always men, really, at football. Obviously, women eat Indian food, but I'm talking about in my football game. Sometimes put the onions on with the mango chutney as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, I like, that's what I did there. But the other two receptacles.
Yes. The receptacles is good.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Maybe lost less than buckets.
Yellow and red.
Oh, yes, you get that sometimes.
What?
Dips.
No.
Oh.
Powder.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it was like a powder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe they were buckets for the fire.
It's very sandy. And actually, they were both yellow, but one was red at all.
Throw this on the fire.
They had powder.
Okay, and did you ever try
And there
that?
Was a mango chutney. Sorry, there were four.
Oh my God, there was a mango chutney.
And I used to think that what you were supposed to... Well, no one told me you couldn't. I suppose I could have asked. Is you put the mango chutney on the chutney and then you put the powder on and it sort of sticks and it flavours it.
Yes, it's kind of salt of some sort.
In a way. It wasn't salt, but yeah, it's that sort of thing.
Well, what was it?
It was...
If it wasn't a type of salt?
It was... Powder.
Powder,
it was.
Okay.
It was like flavouring. It was like seasoning almost.
See, well, that's what salt is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, okay.
Saying it wasn't salt, it was seasoning.
Well, it wasn't sodium chloride.
Right.
It was something else. It was paprika type, whatever.
Right.
Anyway. And I've never seen another place do that.
Let's move on. It occurred to me, can I get a guitar? We haven't got
There's one behind you. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's an electric guitar.
It's not...
I don't know what you'll hear, but that might be enough. What I thought we could do is try and improvise a version of 5 Years based on what's happening now.
Right.
So it'd be like, pushing through the... Oh, I can't get the note,
same key, I think. Pushing through the market square.
Right, so it wouldn't be the market square.
Right.
Pushing through Aldi. So many people sighing.
It's much like...
Buying.
Hand sanitizers.
And toilet paper. Is that the next...
Hang on.
I've got the right... No, sorry, that's the next kit. Okay, let's start again.
Yeah.
Pushing through Aldi. So many people buying. Hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Well,
wouldn't you do news had just... Could you do that and then say something? Would you go...
Okay.
News has just come over, and then you could say...
Boris Johnson is actually lying. news guy didn't weep when he told us...
Hand sanitizers are...
Available. Well, actually, it's not going very well, this. But one thing that does bring up is... I said this on Twitter the other day, but I'm going to say it again now. Is that all the apocalypse films have not prepared us for how much it's going to be about the toilet.
The toilet paper?
The toilet. The toilet. Like yesterday there was a thing about how there's worries that the sewage system may not be able to cope.
Oh, because, kitchen roll.
Because people are... can't get toilet paper because there's been bulk buying of toilet paper, so they're putting wet wipes and whatever down the toilet, and the sewage system might collapse. Now, I've seen Contagion, I've seen various other things. Like, I mean, you could consider films like Independence Day and other films like that. Essentially, they're all apocalyptic films. No one even goes to the toilet, let alone going out to buy an enormous amount of things that you use in the toilet. Nor is there the government saying, please stop buying things for the toilet.
I mean, it's hardly ever a toilet scene in any film, is it?
No, it's very few scenes in the toilet. If they are, the only times that there are really toilet
comedy
scenes in film... Well, comedy, but also sometimes in a kind of business-based film.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there'll be, like, a moment in an office, in something like... I've never seen Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But in a film like Glengarry Glen Ross, there'll be an office with, like, men talking about something important, and some of that will happen in the toilet.
Yes, yes, I see what you mean.
And there'll be a sort of... It's part of the sort of macho-ness of it.
Yes.
That they'll be saying, OK, well, I think we need to buy blah, 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 and I don't give a fuck what happens to him. And he'll be shaking his cock at the urinal to, you know, finish a piss as they do so.
And almost always they'll be talking about what you just said. I can't remember what the dialogue was, but we need to sell that whole company. It's going to bring us down.
But there'll be some swearing as well.
Swearing.
I don't care what that fuckwit says.
And then the cubicle will open.
Yes.
And maybe that guy or someone, and they'll just go very quiet.
Well, although having said that, I would say in the few toilet scenes that there are in films, and we're talking about public toilets now, although there are obviously some scenes in private toilets as well, but it tends to be, I would say toilets in general in films tend to involve urine. There's less number twos.
But that's interesting.
Actions. I mean, sometimes you see people sitting on the toilet, but more often than not, that's because they're crying or something else, or they're having a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know, in a sort of teen film, they'll be taking drugs, having sex. There's very little actual pooing.
If films are believed, people mostly don't use cubicles for pooing. They mostly use them, as you say, for cigarettes or crying.
Yeah, so the way you said that implied to me that they poo somewhere else. Films are to be believed.
It does raise that question,
doesn't
it?
They poo somewhere else.
But
my point is that the world is now telling us, no, actually, you know, it's one of the first things on people's minds
think about
when there is a massive dramatic thing happening.
Yes.
I mean, I don't quite understand it, I have to say. I'm not the first person to say this.
Particularly the toilet roll thing.
The toilet roll thing. Yeah. I believe, you know, Louis Theroux said on Twitter, guys, if I was actually stocking up for the bunker, toilet roll wouldn't be in my first 25 things I would buy.
No, I think... I won't be the first to say this either, though. It's really about having agency, isn't it? It's about everyone feels a bit freaked out. So there's some sense of how do I provide for my family and myself? And somehow buying chickpeas and, you know, pasta isn't... It's partly what it's about. But toilet roll feels like something you can control. Slightly primal and slightly childlike.
Yes, is that
maybe?
It?
Is there something about that?
I don't know. People
feeling very vulnerable?
I mean, I think food is what you should stock up with, because without food, you won't need toilet roll.
When did you last not use toilet roll in a situation where you would like to use toilet roll?
It's quite an intimate question.
You seem always quite comfortable with those.
I am totally comfortable with it. Well, I have a bidet. Without going into too much graphic detail.
I think we're probably already there.
I do use that bidet. Generally use the bidet as a secondary form of cleanliness rather than like I'm going to come straight out.
Have you used it as a primary source, is that what you're saying?
I think at my time I might have done, but not deliberately, only on looking round and thinking, oh, fuck, there's no toilet.
Right.
The toilet roll is that horrible site where it's just... Actually, I did do this once on Taskmaster.
Right.
On Taskmaster, we were asked to bring in a sort of like awful and depressing thing, and I brought in an empty toilet roll.
Yes.
Like one of the most depressing things you can see.
I wonder whether
after the event,
I don't want to remake that show, and no one's making TV shows at the moment because of the virus. But I wonder if there is one thing more depressing than that, which is the one with like the one little sheet hanging on that's still got that you almost see the
glue.
Think,
now I have to fold this.
Yeah, and you just
times.
And you sort of think even using it is more depressing because it's.
But I have been in many countries where there isn't toilet roll available in places. I can tell this really horrible story since, you know, all bets are off, which is I didn't realise. When I was young, there are many things I sort of don't know in my life that I should know. That, you know, people, Frank Skinner, I think, or other people have talked about this sort of stupid eureka moment where things that are obvious to everyone.
Yeah, you suddenly
realise
that's interesting,
I didn't realise that. And one thing I don't think I realised was that the small bucket that is sometimes there.
Chamber?
No, it's a bucket. A bin. It's a bin.
Right.
In foreign toilets is used toilet paper.
Okay.
And I was once in somewhere, I think it was Greece.
Oh, God.
Somewhere.
Yeah, Greece.
I just thought, where's the toilet paper? And I thought, it's in this receptacle.
God.
And I thought, oh, God, it's in a bit of a step. I think the top toilet paper was reasonably clean. And I thought, all right, they've just piled it up in this weird place. And then about two sheets
there was
down,
a layer under.
I thought, oh no, wow. I've made a terrible mistake.
Wow.
Here. I know, it's quite a story, isn't it?
That's quite something. That's quite.
I know. Have I pushed it finally too far?
Well, no, it's also that feeling of like, oh God, I'm not going to use those because I can see they're.
Yes.
But thinking used. I've already used some.
Exactly. No, the eureka moment was quite a bad moment. It was the moment I thought, oh no, this is not what I thought
I
thought it was literally just, okay, I'm in a slightly second world country here. They don't have rolls.
Yeah.
They put their toilet paper in a kind of chamber.
I must say, of your two eureka moments today, I prefer the one about mango chutney and lime pickle, if I'm honest.
Shall we call it a day and do another one?
Yeah.
Pushing through the... Why is he pushing through the Market Square? I think that's a very unlikely place for David Bowie to be.
I like the Market Square thing, because what I think about... This is not... I think about places like Aylesbury.
Yes, well, I think about Cambridge.
And Cambridge. And I think of the places he would have been gigging. Square.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think.
Actually, I was in Aylesbury the other day. In fact, that might have been... Aylesbury might be where the Tim Hinks thing happened. Hinks tweet.
Yeah, I'm quite big in Aylesbury.
You are. And I thought I would get a laugh, and I absolutely didn't. For saying, I just came back on the second half and I said some things, and then I said, but you know, I love Aylesbury, particularly its really shit David Bowie statue.
Yeah.
Thinking that lots of people would know what I was talking about, and it got the impression no one knew what I was talking about. I know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Sorry, no one there knew.
Well, it didn't get any response at all.
You know,
and normally a local reference will get a big response.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's not particularly hilarious, but any kind of local... I mean, it used to be the case, without wishing to show light on magic here, that I would sometimes, years ago, I would turn up at some city and then I would just look for a shit place in that city and say that I'd got lost in that place.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, for example, I remember playing Edinburgh
and
saying that I'd got lost in Nidri on the way to the gig and that getting a big laugh because Nidri is...
What is Nidri? I know Edinburgh quite
well. It's a local place near...
Like an area.
An area, yeah.
Oh, you see, it's not Edinburgh. It's out of Edinburgh. It's a town. It's
slightly... Well, in terms of looking at the map and pitching this joke, you have to find somewhere that is pretty close to the town. Otherwise, it feels like, well, that's not a local reference anymore. But also sounds shit.
Yes.
And actually, I used to just guess it, like from the name. Now you can actually Google it and have a look at it.
Yeah, of course.
And think, like, oh, yeah, that definitely is a shit place. Actually, on the tour, on this tour, I tend to say, it's lovely to be here. And then I say, and it's lovely to see that you're still prepared to congregate in such numbers at this stage of the apocalypse.
Yes.
And different places will laugh or not laugh when you just say it's lovely to be in blah blah, because it depends on what it is. So like yesterday or Sunday in Cheltenham, I said it's lovely to be in Cheltenham, no laughs, they just think it is lovely. When I said it's lovely to be in Motherwell, it got a massive it got a massive laugh.
That's very funny. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, it's really not lovely to be in Motherwell. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I've not been in Motherwell, but they're a famous Scottish football team, and so that's what I think about.
Sort of amazing just how grim it is. Anyway.
Good, well, let's hope there's no one listening for
a Pushing? No, no, I got a massive laugh.
So oh, I see, right, okay.
They're okay with their grimness, I think. What is the disaster in 5 years? I've always imagined it's an asteroid.
The only thing you've got to go on, I think, is the Earth was really dying, and it's sort of...
it's an environmental catastrophe.
Yeah, I don't know, it just feels like environmental, because it doesn't really go on to say...
what moves were taken to stop it.
I'm just looking, it doesn't talk about a government response, which I think is urgently needed.
You know what, I have to say, I mean, I think we should try and find a way out of this particular podcast, but the short-term way that people think now, like even with this crisis, right, 2 weeks ago, I was still having a sense that people were like sort of joking about it and not thinking it was real.
Yeah.
And actually, someone retweeted a tweet I did on January the 20th, I tweeted, I note that a lot of people are talking about other things and not coronavirus.
Yes.
I'm afraid that is what happens in the films. And if you look at the responses to that, they're all much, much, much more sort of jollier than they would be now. So my point is, I think if a news guy said the Earth is going to end in 5 years' time, I don't know that he would be crying. I think he would be saying he wouldn't feel that was quite real yet. And also, he would be providing lots of things that people were trying to do to stop the thing happening in 5 years' time.
Yeah, which doesn't come across in the song.
No.
I think
it's like everyone just accepts it's definitely happening.
I think there'd be two things. I think it'd either be, let's say, in the Bowie world, it could be an alien force.
If it's an asteroid that you know.
Then I think the news guy would be saying, there's so much unpicking to do of this.
Yeah.
You know, and there's negotiations to be had, and you know, David Miliband is sending a sort of force out and talking to them on a big oval satellite
dish.
None
of that, it suggests he's crying and his face is wet.
So it's urgent.
Can you imagine trying to say all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like David Miliband said that face while you're blubbering. It's really hard to do.
It's a difficult stage for the Earth, but we, you know.
Yeah, can't everyone keep calm.
Yeah, or, that's exactly what you say, or it would be experts have said, we've basically got 5 years left because of environmental disaster.
Yeah.
And then it would be about government response. It would be also a lot of people are saying Trump has said he doesn't think it's 5 years. He thinks
well, that's the point. I can't imagine a situation, particularly now, but obviously David didn't live in a time where everyone had a fucking opinion and it was all different.
Yes,
but it's hard to imagine that someone saying the world is going to end in 5 years and about half the world saying no, it's not.
Yeah, no, I agree. And but it may seem that we can't end this podcast.
Yeah,
but I'm going to end it.
Okay, and how are you going to do it?
I'm going to end it. The only way we can.
When's Tim Hinks coming on?
With
this is the trouble. If you came on and did this, that guy, even that guy, would be a bit.
I'm just
going
to end it. It's not a big thing.
Yeah.
What I'm about to do.
Yeah. You're going to end it lightly.
I'm just going to end it lightly.
Yeah. It's a soft out.
Naturally. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, I'm so bored because they're all the same. The I've got nothing to look forward to.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.